Well, tonight in the book of Joshua, mainly, Joshua chapter 1 to begin with, and in Numbers chapter 27, we find that Moses, who was the leader of the people of Israel, was told that Joshua was going to be his primary servant and helper and guide and many other things in the work that he was doing. And if you go over to Deuteronomy 31, and begin at verse 1, it says, "And Moses went and spoke these words unto all Israel. He said unto them, I am 120 years old, and I can no more go out and come in. The Lord has said unto me, you shall not go over to this Jordan. The Lord thy God will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt dispossess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before you, as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, the kings of the Amorites, unto their land whom he destroyed. And the Lord will deliver them up before you. And you shall do unto them according to all that I command, which I have commanded you this day. Be strong and of good courage, and fear not, nor be affrighted, for the Lord your God, he it is that doth go with thee, and he will not fail you nor forsake you." Now, as we read that passage, we're leading up to the idea of Moses, first of all. Moses, of course, became the great leader of Israel because God chose him to do so. He was born, he's born in slavery and during the captivity of the Israelite people in Egypt. But because of God's providence and God's direction, he ended up actually growing up in Pharaoh's house. He was the adopted grandson of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. In Hebrews chapter 11, though, it says of Moses in Hebrews 11 and verse 24, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproach of Christ greater than the riches and than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked for recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." So Moses lived a faithful life, and with the idea that he could see God, even though God was invisible to his eyes, he had that kind, that's a description of what kind of faith Moses had. He didn't have to see God in the sense that we see something physically to know that he was there. That's the kind of faith that he had. God called him, God called on Moses in Exodus chapter 3 from the burning bush to go and lead the people of Israel, and he did that and brought them out, and he received the law of Moses at Mount Sinai. And then he led the people for some 40 years through the wilderness wandering. And of course, he came to the point where he was not going to be allowed to go into the land of promise because of the sin that he had committed one time. And so Joshua was chosen to be the leader of the people of Israel. And of course, Joshua was chosen well before he actually became that leader. He was the servant and helper of all those things of Moses before that. But he was the natural one that would take over because the people would know who Joshua was. And so he was one of the two spies in Numbers chapter 13 that Moses chose to go in to the promised land and spy it out and come back with a report. And there was 10 that came in with a bad report, and 2, Joshua and Caleb, came with a good report. And the people believed the ones that brought the bad report, and so they had to wander in the wilderness for another 40 years until everyone over the age of 20 that had come out of the land of promise, except Joshua and Caleb, would die in the wilderness. And so we look at Joshua chapter 1. That's where we come to in this idea. And what God said to Joshua. Joshua, of course, is now Moses has died. And Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." So, now, Joshua didn't have to be told that Moses was dead. He knew that he was. But God wanted him to understand, you are going to take up the mantle, so to speak, of the leadership of God's people. And God is telling Joshua that I have chosen you to do this. Now, you think about Joshua and the situation he was in. He had been Moses' servant, and he had had a leadership role quite a bit in the leadership of Israel during that time. But that's a big difference between being second in command and now being the one that was in charge, as he was. So God said, Moses is now dead, and you're going to be the leader of the people. Again, you go back to Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9. It says, and Moses speaking, he says, Joshua the son of Nun was full of spirit and wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua was chosen to be the leader of Israel. It's a very difficult situation because he was replacing the only leader Israel as a nation ever had. And not only that, he was replacing the man God chose to be the lawgiver, the judge, and everything else for them for 40 years' time. And so it was a very difficult situation. But notice what God said to him. He says, now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people. Notice he says, now. You know, the time for waiting was over. They had waited and wasted 40 years in the wilderness because of their sin, and because they murmured and complained and turned against God on so many occasions. But that tells us that we have to be very careful about the way that we look at the will of God and the church, that we need to be supportive. We have to be strong and faithful whenever we're doing and trying to do the will of God. So he says, now go, and he says, now arise. In other words, in our terminology today, God said to Joshua, he says, arise. In other words, he says, now is the time, get up and get at it, so to speak. Now is the time to do God's will. And, he could not be victorious unless he did what God commanded. Now notice, God told him, he says, you go over, for I have given you this land. So God told him to do that, and Joshua had to have the kind of faith that Moses had also. We cannot be victorious, neither could he, unless we're willing to do what God commands. And in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Saul of Tarsus, when he received his sight back, and Ananias told him, arise and be baptized, wash away your sins. So he had to get up and do something that God required of him in order to receive God's blessing. Well, Joshua was in that kind of situation. Now, again, you look at him in his situation, maybe he might have been a little bit afraid about this. And I'm convinced that that's the reason why several times God told Joshua, be strong, be courageous, stand and go and do this. It took courage to cross the Jordan River in Joshua's time, because he knew that's where the enemy was. The enemy was very strong. They knew that. And yet God says, if you'll go, and you do go, and I will give you the land. And so there needed to be courage there. In Psalms 23 and verse 4, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now you think about that, and that's David had the same kind of courage that Joshua demonstrated in the conquering of the land of Canaan for the Israelites. And Romans 8 and verse 23, Paul says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Notice he didn't say we are more than conquerors and stop there. He says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, it's we go and do what God says, and he's the one that gives the authority and strength and the success in it. And so he said to Joshua, go into the land which I do give you, even to the children of Israel. Notice it was not go over there and maybe we can conquer that land. Go over there and we'll see what happens when you get there. God says it's given to you. To God it was already an accomplished fact. But Israel still had to believe and obey what God commanded. And Joshua was going to be their leader. Now look now at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, to you I have given it as I spoke unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, and to even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your border. And there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. So God says, Joshua, you get up, you get at it, you do what I'm commanding you to do. And he says there in verse 3, he says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given it to you. Notice he didn't say, I'll give it to you. He says, it's done. It's already yours, but you have to go and take it. So the words, it's kind of like the words of Caleb, who was the other faithful spy that went in, that Moses sent in. And when they came back, all the 10 spies, they said, well, we can't take it. We're, you know, it's a great, wonderful land, but we're like grasshoppers in their sight. They have walled cities and huge armies, and we can't take the land. But what did Caleb say in Numbers 13 and verse 30? He says, let us go up at once and possess the land, for we are well able to overcome it. He wasn't looking at the size of the cities and the walls and the armies and everything else. He knew that God was going to be with him. And he would have been if they had gone in then. God told him, if you had gone in when I told you, you wouldn't have to die in the wilderness first. There's no enemy that can stand against God. And he's promised that he will fight for us. And in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 15, it says, thus says the Lord to you, fear not, neither be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And sometimes maybe we are a little bit afraid to do what's right or do something that is necessary in the Lord's service. We need to go back and realize what God says. He says, don't fear. He says, don't be dismayed, because the battle is not ours. He says it's not yours, it's God's. That's God will fight for his people. And he did then, and he will do that today. But we have to live by faith and serve him every day that we can. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 4 then, he says, from the wilderness and in this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be for your border. Now, that was a land promise given first to Abraham, and then to Isaac, and then to Jacob. Same promise was given. I give you a land to dwell in. I'm going to make of you a great nation. And through you, and that's through the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in particular one descendant, all the people of the world would be blessed. Well, that ultimate blessing was going to be because Christ was the descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it was going to be fulfilled in the time of Joshua. I will come back to it later, but in Joshua 21, verses 43 through 45, the Bible tells us that God fulfilled all of the things that he had promised to Joshua. And it was completed. The whole territory that he describes here in Joshua 1 and verse 4 is mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 21, the days of Solomon. 1 Kings 4:21 says, and Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the river, that's the river Euphrates, unto the land of the Philistines, that's the land on the Mediterranean Sea unto the border of Egypt, and they brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. So exactly as God promised that he was going to do, he gave them all of that land. And Solomon ruled over it. That was the greatest extent of the kingdom of Israel, was during the days of Solomon. In the passage here in Joshua, and then 1 Kings chapter 4 answers the question forever. There are people today that teach that, well, God never fulfilled completely the land promise, so he's going to have to bring all the Jews back to Israel and reestablish his land and fulfill his promise there. Well, he doesn't have to do that because he's already done it, exactly as he prophesied through Joshua chapter 1 and 1 Kings chapter 4, and in fact in Joshua 21 verse 43 also, as we'll come back to that in a moment. But Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, he says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before you for all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you." Now God guaranteed to Joshua, if you will do what I command you, you are going to be victorious. Now that doesn't mean there wasn't going to be some difficulty. Didn't mean that he wasn't going to face a serious battle and some difficulties and problems sometimes, because they were. But God says, if you'll do what I command you, I'm going to give you this land. And we look at ourselves and we think, well, you know, we'd like to have that kind of promise too. Well, in a sense, we do have that kind of promise. But it's even greater than the time of Joshua. He was promised a land to dwell in, live in, physically. Romans 8 and verse 28 says, "To them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose." Now, he did not say, if we believe in God, everything's going to go right for us. That's not what he said. He said, to them that love God, all things will work together for good. That means sometimes we have to do the bad or go through a bad time and suffer through it and be faithful. God will be with us. But he says all these things will eventually work together for the good if we'll be faithful to him. If we love God and we obey his voice through the word of God, he's going to be with us, and he's promised us the victory. Now go back to Joshua chapter 1 again. Joshua 1 verse 6, he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous to observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you shall go." So he says it takes courage. He says there in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Again, back in Deuteronomy, when Joshua was named to be the servant of Moses and successor to Moses eventually, each time God explained to him and Moses told him, be strong and courageous, be of good courage, and I'm going to be with you. So it takes courage. It took courage then. They had to go and do battle, you know, right at the start with Jericho. Jericho was considered a city at the time that could not be taken by armies. It was too strong, too powerful, had too many people, too many soldiers, and the walls were huge, and that couldn't possibly be taken. But God told Joshua, this is what you do. And Joshua did what God said, and God gave them the victory. But there was a courage that had to be there for them to do what God commanded. And that courage came because of their faith. And it's true in everyday affairs of life. We have to have courage to serve God. Things of the church, we have to do that also. And so we need to pray for strength and for help and for courage and wisdom to be faithful. Also, it's a great responsibility that Joshua was given to lead the people. Notice in verse 6, he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for you will cause this people to inherit the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them." Well, that promise that God swore to give to them was over 400 years before that time. So he is fulfilling a promise that God gave 400 years earlier. And of course, God, when he makes a promise, he does not forget. We might forget. We might think that God has forgotten, but he doesn't. He's going to fulfill his promise. And he says, so if the people, if Joshua would lead the people and lead them in faith and strength, God would give them the victory. Now, verse 7 then, he says, only be strong and very courageous to observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success whithersoever you go. First he says, be strong and courageous. Again, over and over again, God told Joshua that. And again, you think about it, he's taking over from one of the great men of all time. And he might have been a little overwhelmed by that idea. He's taking over from Moses. And Moses was one of the greatest leaders that the world has ever had. And yet, he's now taking over for him. So God told him over and over again, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And that's what Moses did. And so he says there in this passage, be strong and courageous. Well, again, God repeated it so that he would have it indelibly sunk into his mind. And the same principle applies to us. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it says, God did not give us a spirit of fearfulness, but a power and love and of a sound mind. And so that's what God gives to you and me. As he did to Joshua, he'll give us the same thing. The biggest reason that many people don't serve God as they should or stand up for God and his will is that they live sometimes in fear that what's going to happen if we do that. God says, you follow me and I'll be with you all of the way. In 1 John 4, verse 18, John says, perfect love casts out fear. Well, what is perfect love? Well, God gives that love to you and me. We accept it and live accordingly and give it back to him. So the circle, if you will, is completed. That's what perfect love is. And so God said to him, observe to do all according to the law. You know, God did not bless them unless they were still willing to do what God commanded. Now, he gave them a great victory at Jericho, and the next town they were going to take was a place called Ai. Now, it was a fairly small town. It wasn't any great thing, and so they thought they could send just a few people up there to do it. Well, they were defeated. Well, Joshua was surprised, and so was everybody else. How could they possibly be defeated at Ai when they won a great victory over Jericho? Well, it's because there was sin that came in the camp among them. God told them when they took Jericho, any other town you take, you can take the spoils of wealth or whatever is there. But in Jericho, leave that as a symbol for the power that God gave to you and the blessing. Well, Achan, of course, took some gold and silver and some other things and hid it in his tent. Because of that, when they attacked Ai, they not only lost the battle, but a number of the Israelite soldiers were killed. And they had to find out who caused that sin. But once they did that and they destroyed him, they were successful. The law of Moses was given for Israel, for us. James 1:25, the new law is the perfect law of liberty. And so God told him, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. In other words, stay on the right way, the way that God has provided. In Matthew 7 and verse 13, 14, Jesus talks about us that we're to go on the straight and narrow way that leads to eternal life. So the same principle applies to us today. And Joshua did as we go back over to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And King Josiah did the very thing that God told Joshua to do. He became king at a very young age. And in all of his life, Josiah sought the ways of God. He tore down the idols. He tore down the places of idolatry that they had built. He rounded up the false prophets and the idolatrous priests that they had and had them executed and burned down their places of worship. and drove them out and did a lot of other things that God required under the law. And he reestablished the reading and teaching of the law of Moses. And he became the greatest king that ever was of the kingdom of Judah. And the Bible says there was no one else like him as king of Judah. He was the last good king before the Babylonian captivity. But God said to Joshua that you may have good success wherever you go. Lord, you do what I tell you, have courage and strength and wisdom, and you'll have success in whatever you do and wherever you go. And that exact thing was done. Now go back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He says, the book of the law shall not the book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate thereon day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, and then you shall have thou shalt make the way prosperous, and thou shalt also have good success. Please take this book of the law. You live by it. You follow it. You study it. You learn it. Same principle for us. And when we do that, we read it. And notice God says you read it, you study it, you learn it. You read to gain knowledge. You study to begin to increase that understanding and knowledge. And he talks about meditating on it. In other words, take time to think about what this law is and what it does for us and what it has done for others. And he says, then put it into practice. Now, it's not good enough just to know what it says. We have to live accordingly. And that's the thing we need to understand. We go back to Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. David said, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of the sinner, or sits in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Well, that's what God was telling Joshua. And he says then, for then shall you make your ways prosperous, and then shall you have good success. And all of God's dealings with mankind, the effort comes before the blessing. You know, usually we want God to bless us and then we'll put forth the effort. God says, you put forth the effort and I will bless you. And there's the acceptance of responsibility. And Joshua did that. And so Paul showed that when he said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, he says, know you not that they that run the race run all but one receives the prize? Even so run that you may attain. He's using an illustration of running a race. And he says, you're not going to win the race unless you get in there and you put forth the effort and you train and be ready for it. Well, that's what we have to do also. We'll go back to Joshua 1, verse 9. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever you go. He says, have I not commanded you? Well, yes, he did. Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. You know, God expects every generation to live as Joshua did as an example. In Hebrews chapter 11, sometimes called the great chapter on faith, sometimes called the roll call of the faithful, over and over again, it's talked about how that all of these great people in the Old Testament lived a faithful life and in spite of persecution and all the things that happened to them. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about those who were killed in all of these different ways in persecution. And it says the world was not worthy of them. The world is not worthy of us if we're faithful to God. He says, for the Lord your God is with you whithersoever you go. Back to Joshua 1 verse 5, he said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Well, that had to be a great comfort to Joshua, to realize that God was not going to just leave him out there on his own. He was going to be with him as much as he was with Moses. And the same promise was given to a faithful servant. Well, in Matthew 28, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, it says, go and teach all and he says, baptize them that believe and continue to teach them. And he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. We have a different responsibility that Joshua did. He was to go conquer a nation and a physical place. We have the order given to us, a command given to us, to go out and preach and teach the message of God. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, just like he said to Joshua, he said, "I will in no wise fail you, neither will I in any wise forsake you." So we look at what God said to Joshua. God was with him. They lived under the old covenant because and Joshua was faithful to it. Israel conquered the land that God had promised them. I turn over now to Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21. And God said, "Every place where the sole of your foot touches, I'm going to give it to you." Well, Joshua 21 and verse 43 says, "So the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them the rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all the enemies into their hand, and there fail not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." You know, God says, "Go into the land, and I have given it to you." But they still had to fight. They still had to take it, which they did. But to God, it was already an accomplished fact. But they had to go and do what God commanded. Now, we look at them and say, well, that was way back then, and we live in a different time. We actually live in a time when we have even greater blessing than they had. They just had a land to dwell in and the things that God had promised. We have Christ, the Messiah, who died for us on the cross. And we have the promise of eternal life. Now, this evening, if there's a need in your life to respond to the Lord's invitation, well, that invitation is open, and it's now. If you need to come, won't you stand? Come as we stand and sing.